Tuesday, January 28, 1986. The preacher is Dr. Jonathan Grothy. The sermon text is Matthew 24, verses 45 through 47. The sermon theme is Faithful and Wise Servant.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is not the day of St. Titus. Last Sunday was the day of St. Titus. I preached this weekend, as I do almost every weekend, and as I was preparing for last Sunday, it occurred to me that there might be a few thoughts in connection with this subject which are apt for our gathering today. So today you are to be subjected to an old sermon, two days old. Today we consider and thank God for Titus, a real pro. A real pro. What does that mean? If you are from the Olympic Committee, it means one who is paid for some activity that he does. Or perhaps in regular conversation, someone who is very good at what he does. Or perhaps someone who epitomizes the gentlemanly standard of behavior in a certain area of life. Within baseball players, Stan Musial is a real pro. Or who has an exceptional love for the game, like George Brett. Or to leave sports, perhaps a real pro could mean someone who is educated and certified, belonging to a profession, a doctor, a lawyer, even a clergyman, I believe. Seminarians are addressed at one time as pre-professional persons. Yes, I'm going to propose that in St. Titus we have a real pro in the ministry. It will come to light that he is not a professional in all of those above mentioned possible meanings, although he is one in some of them. What we know about the career of Titus is small enough to be summarized, squeezed in even in a brief chapel address. Surprisingly, he is not mentioned at all in the Acts of the Apostles, and what we know of him is culled from Paul's letters and a few traditions, not always reliable, of the early church. In Galatians, we learn that Titus, an uncircumcised Gentile, was a convert, a companion, and an associate of Paul by the late 40s, perhaps as early as 46, when Paul took him along to Jerusalem to meet the apostles there, at which time some, whom Paul calls false brethren, attempted to require that Titus be circumcised. But Paul resisted them, and Titus emerged unscathed, but keenly aware of the perils of legalistic Judaism. From 2 Corinthians, we learn that Titus was a trusted associate of and fellow worker with Paul in Corinth. Paul sent him to see to the gathering of a collection of money for the poor Christians in Jerusalem, and asked Titus to carry news and also written materials, 2 Corinthians itself, back and forth to Corinth. And finally, from the epistle to Titus, we can learn that the aging Paul, probably in the early 60s, installed Titus as overseer of the Christian churches on the island of Crete, probably with Artemas and Tychicus mentioned as helpers. This was probably not an attractive assignment in terms of worldly attractiveness. Crete was not a wealthy or grandly distinguished place, no great metropolitan centers of culture. And as regards the people of Crete, Paul quotes a line that characterizes them as liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. I won't say anything about your first call. The Christians there were not were exposed to doctrinal and moral dangers. Titus had a tough assignment. Finally, post-biblical tradition tells us that Titus remained unmarried and lived to the age of 94. There is no indication that those two facts are related. And died a natural death on January 4th in about the year 100. He is reported to have been buried at Gortina on the island of Crete. Reflecting on this little bit of information that we know about Titus' ministry, I've isolated several qualities, good qualities for ministry. Some of them begin to sound a little bit like the Boy Scout code, but they get better than that. And I think they also lead us finally to see in what sense we might call Titus a real pro. Not because we know he got paid or was certified by a guild. He was loyal and he was brave. He stayed loyal to Paul in the hostile environment of Hellenistic pagan society, and also in the face of conservative Jewish Christian criticism. He stood by Paul when Paul stood up for the truth of the gospel. He was trustworthy, responsible. Paul was heavily criticized by some of his opponents for just being out for money. Paul relied on Titus' reputation for integrity when he asked Titus to be in charge of the collection money at Corinth. He was, I think, humble and self-effacing to a degree. He seems to have been able to subsume his ego and idiosyncrasies to the task at hand. Whatever needed doing, he found a way to do it. It was true with him, as is true of a good minister and also a good umpire and a good waiter, that they are doing their job best when you don't notice things about their personality. Titus was willing to serve wherever sent. Corinth and Crete were no easy missions, but he went. Rough assignments didn't scare him. Titus is one who fits the words of Jesus in the parable in Matthew 24, the gospel lesson, which is the lesson attached to the day of St. Titus, where the Lord says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." He kept giving the people their food, their spiritual sustenance, through long years of loyal service. In all of this, I see that there must have been in Titus a remarkable love, a singular devotion. Only love could have led to such accomplishments. Only devotion to the gospel could have led to such self-sacrifices. Jesus Christ loved Titus. Jesus Christ died for Titus. Christ saved him. Christ claimed him. Christ made him his servant. Christ poured out his love into Titus through the gospel and worked through him through that same powerful love. Titus was a man ruled, must have been a man ruled by the love of Christ. And his ministry was a ministry motivated, impelled, constrained by the love of Christ. He was who he was and did what he did because of love, Christ's love in him. That's the most important aspect of Titus as a model whom God provides for ministry. And that is what leads me to call Titus a real pro. He has that inner love for his calling coming to expression in what he does. In sports, we might admire a Willie Mays or a George Brett for it. In other professions, you may have known doctors or lawyers or ministers who have or unfortunately have not had it. The best description of a professional that I've ever heard has to do with that inner motivating love. It goes something like this. A professional is a person who happens to be getting paid for doing what he would do anyway, even if he didn't get paid for it. It's a calling that a person does for the love of it. And ironically, it is that which is at the heart of the word that we often think of as the opposite of professional, amateur. From Latin, amol, I love, the one who does an activity because he loves it. In Titus, God has given us an important model for ministry: loyal, responsible, self-effacing, willing, faithful, and wise. A real pro, because he was a real amateur. May the Holy Spirit be at work in our day, in our midst, to raise up such ministers. Amen.